This episode is brought to you by Tweaked Audio at tweakedaudio.com. Fantastic earbuds and audio accessories for you, the discerning listener. Designed to sound great for music and talk and engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatibility with everything you might plug it into. You get a lifetime warranty on everything they make. Go to tweakedaudio.com and use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off. That's STREAM at checkout for 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. All right, Brian.
Okay.
You ready for this read?
Yes.
Coming up on TMS, there were girls in my dream.
Ooh, Nazi leg.
The Rock is pissed.
George has a new TV project in the works.
Go make $200 million, will ya?
Making things with Bill.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
America is great because America is good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great.
This is The Morning Stream, where you get to be the man.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for... Oh, well, you 3D printed a thing, a Valor thing.
Or is that I did. 3D printed a Valor thing.
Oh, it looks like a cookie for a second. I thought it was a cookie.
It is kind of cookie-like. It's...
Like a little frosted cookie there?
Yeah. And then I tried to do one for Mystic and ruined a build tack sheet.
Oh.
Because I forgot to level the plate. I'd done so many prints, and it's like you're supposed to level the plate every 4 or 5 prints.
Yeah.
And I forgot to, and it just like ground blue filament right into the printer plate.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Well, at least that's why you have the build tack.
Yeah. You're really into this Pokemon Go business.
I'm having fun with it.
Printing 3D things. There's a new update out.
Yeah.
We have a story in the show today. I don't want to shock anybody, but we have one story about Pokemon Go today.
One story about Pokemon Go. Yeah. It's still a thing.
It's still a thing. Not only is it a thing, it's a very... lucrative thing, mm-hmm. which we'll get to later. Hey, I got to tell this story. Oh, it's Scott and Brian. Hi, we're the hosts of the show.
Hello.
It's what is today? August 9th. So welcome to the 9th. Really? The 9th already?
Uh-huh.
Really?
In Colorado, it's known as Buddy Check 9 Day because it's what the 9 newscast says is a reminder to go check your breasts.
What? Really?
Yeah.
What, for lumps and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
What buddy if I, check 9.
What if I...
Not that you have a buddy check your breasts.
No. Although...
It's a buddy... Your buddy is supposed to remind you to check your breasts.
I'm sure there'd be volunteers who would want
to
check people's breasts. and men can get it too, you know. You got to poke around there a little bit once in a while and just see what's up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I found my third nipple. Turns out it was benign, but there it is.
Hmm. A benign third nipple.
Yeah, benign third nipple. So as opposed to a malignant third nipple.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Yeah. All right.
That
anyway.
One, it produces milk. It's great. It's like a nice little side job I got going. So why don't we tell you this story here? So today's you get your usual Tuesday business here on the show. Mm-hmm. I had a rough night, and I couldn't sleep, and had a real tossy-turny kind of night. And... Here's what happened. I don't know why this happened, other than the fact that my wife is here and there watching Gilmore Girls through again because she likes that show. I don't hate it. It's fine. It's got Tim Gunn in it. Or James Gunn. Which one's is the
Hello, designers.
Which one? No, wait. Who? Okay, so James. Which Gunn directed Guardians of the Galaxy? Which Gunn is that?
That's James Gunn.
James Gunn. I think he has a brother named Tim, but not the designer guy.
Not the, okay.
But I think it's still Tim. I could be wrong about that. Anyway, Bob, whatever. Anyway, he's in that show and he's like, in there and I like that guy. So there's that guy and, you know, there's other people who are fine. It's a fine show.
Sure.
But
sure.
There's this theme song and I know you're aware of this because you probably have played covers of it or something before, but there's the theme song by... what's the famous freaking folk singer lady's name?
Joni Mitchell?
The other one that's...
Joan Baez?
You're So Vain. Who's that?
Oh, Carly Simon.
Carly Simon, and then somebody else sings it with her, and then she does that. If you need me, I will follow. It's a stupid theme opening hoo-ha to that show.
I honestly have no idea what the theme to the Gilmore Girls is.
All right. Well, it's some kind of famous people doing it, and it's like way lady song and whatever. It's like supposed to be all Gilmore girly, whatever. And it fits, and it's fine. It's fine. It's nothing wrong with it. But every episode, you hear it at the beginning, and they have a little montage of the mom and the daughter doing whatever they're doing there. And then it goes away. Well, I maybe heard, like, I don't know, one run through of that yesterday while she was watching it. No big deal. It's not like I was doing a marathon of like 80 episodes or something. I go to sleep and I constantly wake up in the night with that song in my head. Constantly. It's not playing anywhere. It's not on repeat. The TV didn't get left on or anything like that. I just constantly have the Gilmore Girls song.
Total grindy earworm in your head.
And it's not a good earworm. It's just a song. And then there's... Then I start thinking about all the people in the town, and I start thinking about all the stuff that's going on. And like, there's Melissa McCarthy running the restaurant at the inn thing, because that's where she got her start, is on that show. And for some reason, she's all up in these dreams. And what's her name? Lorelai, played by a lady that was in the family, parent, whatever the hell it was called.
Parenthood? Yeah.
Yeah, Parenthood. I can't think of her name.
Like her a lot.
Yeah. I can't think of her name. But anyway, she's all up in there. And then you got the little Alexis Bledel or whatever her name is. The daughter is all up in my face all night long. And the song is just going off. If you need me. I mean, just constantly. So I slept like crap is the bottom line. And I showed up here anyway.
There should be some sort of thing you could do. Like a mind slate wipe. A song that you can listen to that just basically says, okay, whatever I was thinking about is now the slate has been wiped clean. There's no residue from the new song. There's no residue from the old song. Just like a little, like you listen to a, special, XLDR. What is the thing that they used to have at the beginning of cassette tapes?
Oh,
remember?
Right. Right. Like a little, what is that? What was that called? Was that a thing?
XDR? Was that XDR?
I don't remember. Anyway, whatever that was, yeah, something like that. Some kind of like a magic pen from Men in Black. Something that'll just make us forget. You know what? I think you have the built-in way. Here's what Brian does. Mm-hmm. Tell me if I'm wrong. Because you listen to so much music all the time, mm-hmm. such a broad variety, so many genres, so many covers, so many whatever, so many artists, nothing ever gets stuck in your head.
Not true.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Give me an example. What's something that gets stuck?
Reoccurring Dream by the there it is. It's the XDR Tone Burst. You can find a link to that on YouTube if you want to play it. Here you go.
All right, good.
We chat got room it. Right there.
All right.
Reoccurring Dream by Crowded House is a song that gets stuck in my head all the time.
Yeah.
What's another one? I mean, I do get songs stuck in my head, but it's usually, I will say it's true. It doesn't last very long when they get stuck in my head.
Not me. Like, I'll walk through the house and Nickel have 21 Pilots on, and the rest of the day I spend singing, my name's Blurry Face, and I care what you think. It's just awful. Anyway, speaking of 21 Pilots and their song Heathens, Brian saw Suicide Squad last night.
Oh, really? Is that a song from the soundtrack?
It is. It's the, my friends. How's it go? Now it's going to get stuck in my head because if I remember it, I'll never forget it. It goes, why you don't know the half of the abuse. Whatever. They're in there. Okay. So.
All right. Well, anyway. Anyway.
I'm so tired that I can't say anything. And if I were Brian, I would have also said, anyway. So what happened in that movie? Was it good or not?
It was, I enjoyed it more than Batman versus Superman. As a matter of fact, I would say, kind of this nostalgia you have for the, for Superman 2 and stuff like that. I mean, this might be the best DC superhero movie I've seen. It's not nearly as bad as the reviews would make you think. It certainly doesn't deserve a 22% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. That's super low.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I'd say
it's a solid B, mm-hmm. but Arjuneer brought up one of the two big complaints I have with it. And, what am I thinking? Sorry, Lesarge. Yeah, Dark Knight. The Christopher Nolan film still, still at the very top.
Yeah. But you put this...
How could I forget those?
You put the... I mean, it's easy to put this above BVS because Batman vs. Superman was shit.
Yeah.
It was garbage. But you're saying... You know, it's up there with some of the other ones. You're saying
it's up there with some of the other ones, and I feel like the editing, there is some bad editing on it. I mean, it feels like you've got characters that are doing something in one scene, and then there's a really harsh cut, and you go to another scene where it's almost like the previous scene didn't happen. Mm. And then I also had a problem with the villain. She just didn't seem.
Oh, there's a villain?
Well, there's always a villain.
I thought they were all villains. Isn't that the deal? All
right, the super villain.
The villain who's even the villain to the villains.
Yes, the villain who's the villain to the villains. Okay. I had a real problem with her, and I don't know if it was her acting or if it was... the special effects around her were really good, but it was, it was...
Who is
it was
she?
All right.
Who
was
she?
You know what it felt like?
Who is the lady? Do we know? Is it out there or is it a secret?
It's a secret.
Okay.
Because, I won't know. I won't spoil that. But,
Lois Lane.
Sure. Whatever.
Okay.
The, it did feel like DC taking what they thought were the essences of Deadpool and Guardians of the Galaxy and throwing them into this movie because there was a very definite, classic rock vibe for at least the first half of the movie. There's a, kind of that Guardians of the Galaxy collection of criminals who kind of all get put together and kind of a prison escape kind of feel. Guns of Navarone, but that kind of
Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen, for sure. Dirty Dozen. I don't know. There's some fun stuff that they do there. And it's funny because there's also some things that they do that I wish they would have kept up through the whole movie. The way the characters are introduced is really, really cool. And it just stops at, that just stops at the beginning of the movie. Like they said, all right, let's completely take another road on this. So
you ever get the feeling those guys are just afraid to take risks? Like the DC people are just sort of like,
for sure. I think that, the Guardians of the Galaxy was a risky film. Deadpool was a risky film. This could have been a risky film, but they did play it safe in a lot of places. So,
all right,
spoiler-free review. There's my hot take.
You give it a B.
But I give it a B. I'd say it's better than BVS. I'd say it's better than. I enjoyed it more than Man of Steel or Superman Returns or Superman. Superman Returns.
Yeah, that was the Brandon Routh.
I'd completely forgotten about all the Christopher Nolan Batman stuff. So far, it's those, and then I think this. I think this is after this comes right after the Christopher Nolan stuff. I can't think of something that.
There isn't much else. I mean, there's all the Tim Burton things, and
and those were fun, but
were they though? Were they?
I'm looking forward now to listening to Hotline Monday because I hear Jury gives his opinion on.
He did. I would say his opinion was just below yours, maybe around a C. But he also liked it better than Batman versus Superman. Mm-hmm. He just felt like it was remarkable for being unremarkable, is what his words were.
Yeah, so. There are some characters in there that felt. There's definitely a focus on a couple of the members of the Suicide Squad, and there were a couple of characters that I felt should have had a lot more screen time, who I felt like were interesting enough that they should have gotten a lot more attention.
Let me take a wild guess that it might have been Deadshot and Harley Quinn that were the most focused on.
How did you guess?
Well, it's hard to predict, but really I think it came down to paychecks. So
yeah.
Well, all right. So maybe a future thing. They made a bunch of money for the first weekend. Yeah. We'll see how it holds up next weekend.
You're seeing it tonight, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Although there's this day. Every day of my life feels like today, but we have to juggle things. But I'm planning on seeing it tonight. Mm-hmm.
Let's get to it because I'm curious to see what you think.
Let's do this. I got a caller already for our Stump to Daryl segment.
Whoa,
hi.
Nice.
Who's this? Oh, they hung up. They got scared and left.
Wow.
They literally heard us pick up and they said, oh,
I don't like you talking about the Suicide Squad. You telling me Will Smith gets a lot of camera time? I don't believe it.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Kevin from Michigan.
Oh my gosh, Kevin from Michigan. Here again to try this with Kevin. We've been hoping for this. We've been hoping you'd get.
I am. I'm waiting for that Bluetooth headset that Brian promised me.
That's right.
Did I promise you a Bluetooth headset?
Something like that.
Oh, right. Because you're a Pop-Tart proctologist.
Yeah. I'm a bar soap guy.
Yeah.
For those of you who are brand new listening to the program, I describe it when people are in their cars and they're holding their phone up like sideways and talking into the bottom of it, that they look like Pop-Tart proctologists.
Yeah, talking to the bumhole of a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Brilliant. We've been waiting for this day, dude. Have you been trying other days, or is this the first time you've made an attempt since your last appearance on the show?
Oh, you know, I try once in a while when I work from home, because I don't think my boss would approve of me calling and doing trivia during work hours.
Yeah. Well, tell him it's good for the company, and I'm sure he'll be fine with it. All right. Well, it's Kevin from Ann Arbor, Michigan, which means time for you to see if Daryl's going to get something right or wrong. Brian, why don't you explain the rules and the topic?
Sure. Do you have a prize, by the way?
Oh, I'm sure I do. Let's see here.
See what you got, and I'll stall with the introduction. So, Kevin from Ann Arbor, what we're going to ask you to do is to predict whether Daryl is going to get a question right that we're going to be asking him in a few moments. If your prediction is correct, you have the opportunity to win a prize. Have you won a prize on this yet?
He didn't last time. Remember, he lost because...
I know, you steered him in the wrong direction and it turned into the right direction.
Let's see. What do I want to give you today? Best. Oh, I got one for you. How about this?
All right.
One of my favorite games... There's a sequel coming, but you can still play this one. My favorite PC games of all time, Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2 on Steam.
Nice.
A fabulous game.
Oh, I am all about that. That's awesome.
The 40K.
I don't have that. I've been wanting to get one of those games.
It's real good. Real
well,
good.
Well, you've got to earn it, Kevin. Yeah. We're not just going to hand it to you.
Yeah.
This isn't, not charity work. You're actually going to have to do some work.
Yeah.
You have to do some due diligence if you want this Warhammer 40K.
That's right.
Where would our listeners be if we just handed them everything?
Oh,
like,
no.
You know,
we got to teach a man to fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's how this works. So what's his topic?
Your topic today is back to the future.
To the future, Marty.
To the future, Marty.
All right. So Back to the Future, the first film or just, I don't know. This doesn't really say.
It's just I will tell you that it is the first film.
Okay. So it is the first movie. So you're a fan, you like that stuff, right? You're a dirty millennial, but you're a fan of things that we liked when we were teenagers, right?
Well, yeah, I have the car in Rocket League. I can't say I've ever seen the movie.
Wait a minute. You haven't seen Back to the Future? That blows my mind. Is that true? You really haven't seen it?
I just don't have it, and I've never had anyone that also had it. I know, I'm bad.
Just haven't gotten around to it?
Let me tell you who has it. Netflix has it right now. So now,
does Netflix have it?
Yes.
Netflix should be on Netflix right now.
It's on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
They got it this month. They have it right now. I don't know how long they have it. They have all three right now. So yeah. I'll
do that this weekend, I promise.
I recommend you watch at least the first one.
No, you got to watch all three. All three.
Watch all three, but don't be in a big hurry for two. Two's just kind of terrible.
Well,
three's great.
Don't have great expectations for two, but three redeems.
I like three a lot.
Three redeems the trilogy.
Some people hate three, but I love three. And And then there's a scene in three where a little kid points at his wiener. Watch for that. That's the best part.
The very ending. Yes.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, a kid points at his wiener.
Billy Zane wears 3D glasses and Flea drives a car.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah, Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't remember that at all.
You guys are selling this. I'm excited.
Flea's in a car, kid points at his wiener. Somebody wears 3D
Marty's
glasses.
Marty's girlfriend magically transforms between a couple movies.
Yeah, she's not the same actress two times in a row.
Well, she darrens between a couple of movies or a couple episodes.
I guess the two movies she's the same, two and three, right?
Yes, two and three. She's played by Elizabeth Shue, and the first one she's played by
that girl I had a crush on.
Oh, really?
Oh, I thought she was the bomb when I saw that movie in high school.
Judi Dench.
Judi
Dench. Judi yes, Dench Dame plays Judi Marty's Dench. Girlfriend in the first movie.
She's really changed. All right. let's get Daryl on then.
All right. Oh, well, we don't have a prediction yet from Kevin.
Maybe oh, Kevin, yeah. He's going to get it right. You think he's going to get it right?
Is that right?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you're going to be of no use to him.
Yeah, you're going to be useless. No. There are some people, by the way, I should just mention this while I add Daryl to the call. There are people who believe that Kevin should just be our permanent guest as a guesser of the trivia. There are people.
Oh, no one wants that.
People have suggested this idea. Not saying we do it. I'm just saying it's a thing.
Oh, is the oh, I see. Like basically, he's always on.
He's always
with
the question.
Daryl, or he replaces Daryl.
No. He's always on with him. Okay. He's the one that always helps him get it right or wrong.
I say that when Daryl can't make it, I think Kevin becomes our honorary.
Yeah.
Stumpy.
Tell your boss that.
Yeah, as long as it's on Wednesdays and I'm working remote and I happen to catch the show at 11.
There you go. Daryl, just don't show up on Wednesdays. There you go. Problem solved.
I'm feeling good today and I can't even identify why.
All right. It's Stump Daryl. Daryl Skeel's on the phone with us. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
This whole thing's brought to you by
Jumpgate, the Babylon 5 rewatch podcast, an insightful, frequently hilarious, occasionally inebriated look at the best sci-fi TV show of all time. Whoa. All time.
Whoa.
Search for Jumpgate where you get your podcasts, like at grocery stores or at car washes. Except no substitutes. We live for the one, we die for the one.
Wow. All right. Daryl, them's fighting words. Greatest sci-fi show of all time.
I don't know where people get podcasts. Is that where people get podcasts?
They get the podcasts from, yes, they get the podcasts. Where do they say
Jiffy,
they get it from?
Does Jiffy Lube?
Yeah, Jiffy Lube has them. Yeah, but you only get it if you go in for a full oil change.
Oh, okay, good. Then oil change and a podcast.
Oil looks change like and a podcast.
Looks like your podcast filter is getting a little dirty. Want us to replace that for you?
Your pop filter's a little got a little buildup in there. Sure. Daryl, what's up, man? What's going on with you? How's life over there?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah,
I had a weird dream last night.
Oh, was it about Gilmore Girls by chance?
Well, you're not that far off, I
okay.
guess.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What's it about?
I had a dream that my eyelids were slit open, ew. But that's not the weird part.
Okay.
I was saying, fix my eyes, I can't see anything, and all these people were sitting around.
You've now given me something grosser than the noise you make with the back of your throat.
So wait a minute. So when you say you slit your eyelids open, they're already slit open.
No, I mean he's talking about his actual eyelids, not the space between his eyelids where his eye is.
So,
but like if you close your eye and then kind of
up top then, like or down low. Is that what you're saying? Like up on the rim? Okay.
Ugh. So, and I could kind of see out of one of the slits with my eyes closed.
Oh my God.
This is a bad, this is a bad dream, dude. What's the interpretation?
I don't know, but they finally fixed them. And when I opened my eyes, I found out the surgeon was Hawkeye from MASH.
Oh my, really?
Wow. Yeah. Was he making jokes the whole time? Hey, BJ.
Hey, BJ.
I think that's what it was. I think they were, and that's why I was saying, fix my eyes. Quit telling jokes.
Yeah. Did you say, when you saw
hey,
your
BJ,
eyes?
Let's give this guy eyes in the back of his head.
When you saw your eyes did you in the mirror in your dream, did you say?
Poop.
Is that what happened?
That's about it, yeah.
Okay. What happened to your eyes, Daryl?
I can do no this idea. Surgery with my eyes closed, Beach.
Yeah, I like it.
I have no idea.
All right, Daryl, do you have no idea?
I have no idea.
All right, great. Don't screw up a burger.
How can you screw up a hamburger?
All right. I'm having fun. Like, I made Daryl. I have so many Daryl clips. Stuff you don't remember saying.
No.
How about this one?
Transparent cloth.
Transparent cloth. What were you doing? What was that about?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea.
All right.
Wait. I already said that.
You did say that.
You could just press the button for that. I have no idea.
All right.
I need to remove that from my...
Daryl, let's play Stump You. That's the name of the show here.
Stump You and the Horse You
Stump
Rode
You
In On.
Stump You and the Horse You Rode In On. We got on the phone with us, Kevin from Ann Arbor.
I don't know if Kevin threw up. Had to go throw up listening.
He's all good. Hey, if he can't take a weird eyelid story, then what good is Kevin in the end? So let's do it. You have a topic today. Do you want to know what it is?
Oh, I already know.
Oh, good, because you listened to that part. It's Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Good, because, yeah, I mean, you've seen Back to the Future, right?
Oh, a billion times.
All right, good.
Yeah,
so,
who hasn't seen Back to the Future?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who hasn't, Kevin? Who hasn't seen it?
It would be cheating to say if anybody had seen it or not seeing it, so we're not going to say anything about that.
Right. Yeah. And that's not like everyone has seen this movie, right, Kevin? Everyone.
Absolutely everyone.
Everyone. Not that you haven't. You totally have. In the beginning of Back to the Future, we see Marty get ride on, this is written wrong, get ride on back of Jeep. get ride on the back of a Jeep. Get a ride, I think he means, while riding his skateboard. So this is the first Back to the Future. This act is actually referred to as skitching. It's true. I had a game called Skitchy. Skitching? EA put out a game called Skitcher. Oh, Skitcher, I think it was. And you basically, that's what the game was. You rode on the back of cars and you would punch other riders. It was like what's the motorcycle one? Oh, crap.
Road Rage?
Road Rage. It was like Road Rage, except with these skater guys. Anyway,
interesting. If you listen to podcasts, would you listen to podcasts on a while you do this? Would it be an app called Skitcher?
Yeah, it'd be Skitcher, where they get all the revenue and the compression sucks.
Right, there you go.
Anyway, the driver of this truck has a hat. What brand of soda? What brand of soda? It's like a toad with an S. What brand of soda is featured on this man's hat? Okay, so here are your four possible
brands.
Road Rash.
I'm sorry, not Road Rage. Road Rash.
Road Rash, not Rage. Yeah. A, Pepsi. B, Mountain Dew. C, Coke. D, 7-Up. Oh, man, I haven't drank 7-Up in probably 15 years. I just never have it. You know what 7-Up was when I was a kid? It was a remedy when you were sick.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's all I think of. So if you were to say to me, hey, do you want a cool, refreshing 7-Up? I go, ugh, no. That's like asking me if I want Pepto-Bismol for fun.
Oh, see, now it's a mixer.
Ugh, bleh, bleh. I guess I could do that if it was a mixer.
Yeah. Vodka 7-Up or...
Assuming I drank.
That thing you just did, that's the burping guy sound.
Bleh. Oh, the bleh. That guy?
Yeah.
You're still unconvinced that guy was real, right? You're still not sure he was...
No, I'm sure he's fake.
Okay. Let's see if I can find him. I just want to hear him one more time. Now that you've asked for it. I can't find the guy. Burping fish burps. Burping man. Here it is. Sorry, Genie. I know Genie right now. I was like, gosh dang it, Scott.
Give me an F sharp. Would you give me one F sharp?
F sharp. Ready?
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is right there. Okay, all right, thanks.
That's fine. All right. So anyway, sorry. Your options are Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Coke, 7-Up. What do you think it is?
It has to be a Pepsi product, but.
Oh, very smart.
I don't.
Because of Cafe 80s?
Well, because Pepsi's all over in
product
this
placement.
Movie.
Yeah,
and they did a bunch of ads, right? Is my memory. A bunch of commercials for Pepsi using the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a tab.
If you want a tab, you're going to have to buy something.
Doc!
They don't understand soda pop in the future, Doc. Or the past.
Mark's root beer.
When you do that, I'm in the presence of a star.
You feel like you're right here with 1980s Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put a Coca-Cola freestyle machine into a DeLorean?
If only. If only. So what do you think?
Marty, now I can make a Coke Zero with vanilla and orange.
That'd be really pretty good, pretty forward-thinking technology in 1955, right?
Totally was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, nobody would have believed it. Are we further away from 85 than we were 55 in 85?
No, we are further away from 1955 than we are 85, and we always will be.
No. So when this movie came out in 85, was that further away from 55 than we are now from 85?
We're pretty close, because...
We are a year beyond, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. It's 30 years. It was 30 years for them, and it's 31 years for us.
I don't like that. Makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like it.
Been a long time.
It's been a long run.
Is something wrong with the gravity where you're from?
Oh, man. We're getting some sweet Doc Brown today. So which drink? Now, you can't go by which one you like here. You have to pick the one you think was on the hat.
Right.
Yeah.
Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Coke, 7-Up.
Yep.
Well, Coke is obviously the enemy of Pepsi, so it can't be that.
All right.
And 7-Up is not a Pepsi product.
You don't want to make 7-Up yours.
Nope.
I think it... I don't think it's A, because that'd be too obvious, and why would you make a question with that as the answer? Mm-hmm. So that leaves B.
Mountain Dew?
That's what I'm thinking. Isn't that a Pepsi thing? I think
know.
It is.
Kevin, do you want to steer this at all? Does that seem okay to you, or what are you thinking there?
Yeah, you know, I can add my 2 cents. It's actually funny. I just saw 2 nights ago, maybe on Sunday night, the Family Guy episode that has Peter as Marty McFly sitting on the back of a car. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember if he had something on his hat, and I can't really remember.
Might have.
And then another fun fact. I thought this question was going to be different, I'll be honest. So last week, I broke my foot skateboarding, and I thought this was going to be a skateboarding question, which would have been fun, but it's not. So,
yeah, it sort of is.
Let's just say, though, that Mountain Dew is such an extreme drink, and skateboarding's an extreme sport, that those two things make sense.
Yeah, wow. I like
what Daryl's thinking.
Those feel like they feel like they go together a little bit. I would agree with that.
Wow, very good. I like what you're putting down.
In 85, skateboarding just felt like, you know, poverty horse, as we say in Heroes of the Storm. It's like the cheap way of getting around. Where, you know, we hadn't quite gotten...
What was the rich way of getting around in 1985?
The cool way... They didn't become the cool way until the 90s, I don't think. The 80s, right. The skateboards were still kind of scrub devices. But, today they're cool, right? My son has a big, long... One of those long boards, and it's just a gnarly beast. It's like he's riding around on a pallet or something. This thing is freaking huge. And gone are the days of the little penny boards the size of my keyboard.
True. Well, they still sell them, but yeah, not very.
People want big, man.
People want big.
They want bigger phones, bigger skateboards. All right, Daryl. So you say Mountain Dew. Is that your final answer?
That is my answer.
Well, let's check it then. Is it true?
Congratulations.
It is true.
Yay.
You're a winner.
And nice, I mean, that means you win. The thing. What did you win? Oh, a Warhammer 2.
Warhammer 40K.
40K. Dawn of War 2. It's a fantastic game. Real good. And absolutely worth playing if you've never played it. I played it through twice. I never do that with games. So that should tell you something. Yeah, I love that game. In fact, it's just talking about it.
I'm super excited. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and just talking about it makes me want to play more of it. All right, so if you're in the chat room, Brian will copy and paste that over to you. If you're not...
I'll send it to you, Brian.
All right, cool. So he's in there. He knows. He knows what's up.
Sounds good. Yeah, Kevin, just send me a message and I'll get you your stuff.
Stay out of trouble. Have fun leading the millennial, dirty millennial revolution. We'll see you later. Okay. Daryl, it's just you and us now. That means a quiet little moment where we can sit down, play this here clip.
I know. I Googled it.
And play Google Ocalypse with Daryl Skeels. Google Plex. Google Plexilus. What is it? Googleus Maximus. Thank you.
There we go.
Shit. All right. What do you got for us?
Let's see. Which one should I do? This one's pretty stupid. Let's do this one.
Oh, perfect.
I have never blank.
I have never blank.
I have never...
Well, here, I'll give you more. That's too hard. I have never sat in a blank.
Yeah, that's a very different thing than just I have a blank.
I have never used Alta Vista as my search engine.
Yeah.
All right. I've never sat in a blank.
I've never sat.
I've never sat in a limo.
That's not bad. I've never sat in I've never sat in first class.
That's good too. But it's right? Sat in
Yeah.
There's a song that's out right now that's sort of like this. Oh, no, I know what it is. Oh, never mind. I can't sing those lyrics.
Are Royals?
No. It's somebody says they've never had sex with Drake is the essence of the song.
Okay. You could sit and do that.
I've never sat in a Drake.
Thanks for that visual. Sheesh. All right. You never call me on my cell phone. Anyway, so who got it? Probably neither of us.
Well, you're pretty close. I have never sat in a premium location.
Oh, I win. That's a premium location.
Premium location. Well, so's a limo.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It is. Yeah. We both were close then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both.
I never sat in a premium location.
Yeah. That's a very. What is that?
That's kind of weird.
I have never.
I don't know. It's weird.
Sat in a premium location.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Twitter thing, John Oliver thing. John Oliver, Yankees are now welcoming everyone. Yeah, this is some John Oliver riff.
Apparently so, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, okay, hey.
Well, good.
May we all one day sit in a premium location. Gaga. Oh, I didn't do all of his stuff about where he's from and everything. That's okay, because here's this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
All right, we're diving into the news brought to you by
RallyPoint.gg. Scott, what's happening this week?
Well, RallyPoint.gg is the new website, so you can go there. It's much faster than the old Bleacher Report way. So if you want to get in there and get the show, you can. So a reminder to people that I do a new thing for the Turner folks, their BleacherReport.com/esports site, where we cover esports and competitive gaming twice a week, and this could not be a bigger week. There is all the finals of all the things, and all of the tournaments are happening in Rocket League, in Heroes of the Storm, the Internationals going on with Dota 2, LCS with the fine folks at League of Legends, and of course some Overwatch, not finals, but some sort of prelims are happening, like constant esports stuff. So if you want to get your fix and your coverage, go to rallypoint.gg and subscribe to where and get it wherever you get podcasts, and it's free, of course, so go check that out.
Nice.
Let's do the news.
Okay. All right.
I want to thank Scott Napier on Twitter here for sending this. He sent this over. Thanks, Scott Napier. Says New York white supremacist blows off his own leg while making bombs in his house.
Whoops.
An upstate Upstate New York man. Upstate New York man. What's his power? Does he have a power?
Knows the correct pronunciation of the town, Rochester.
Nice.
Excelsior.
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 Anyway, he blew off his leg in his garage making improvised explosive devices. He's going to be held in federal custody without bail. Law enforcement found white supremacist paraphernalia and believes he is dangerous. What is white supremacist paraphernalia? Is that like paperwork and
pamphlets and
t-shirts?
Little 3D printed swastikas. Shaving implements? I don't know.
Only in 2016. Is that a thing you'd say? Michael O'Neill, he's 45, former Niagara County Corrections Officer, is accused of making 7 bombs and was arrested 2 weeks ago after one of the devices accidentally went off. O'Neill was rushed to a hospital where his leg had to be amputated. He was the only one injured. Good. Yeah. Luckily, he has been detained, U.S. Attorney John Alsop told the Time Warner Cable News. He says, let's see, he is no longer at large. He's actually much smaller now.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it is funny to say that.
No longer at large.
He's a little less large.
He's that he can only go in a circle.
Yeah, he weighs about 12 pounds less than he used to weigh. he's no longer at large in the community with or without some of the physical disabilities he's going to have going forward, but luckily for the community, he only hurt himself. Pictures of the KKK Nazi imagery and Confederate flag were found inside his home.
There you go. There's the answer to your question.
Yeah, there's your paraphernalia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which he lives in with his stepfather, William Ross, who chairs the Niagara County Legislature. Even with his leg now missing, prosecutors believe it would be too risky for the public if O'Neill was released from custody. Well, of course. The guy was doing illegal shit.
Yeah, exactly.
The explosives he created contained nails and BB pellets.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. According Dirty to reports, bombs. one was labeled powder with nails.
Well, sometimes karma works a lot faster than...
It's also it's a sign at my local pedicurist as well. Powder with nails. Ask about our sweet
powder
deals.
With nails. Yes.
Here's another one for you. The Rock is all ticked off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he called one of his co-stars a chicken shit, and it's up to us to guess who he meant.
Well, I think that's when you eat as many chicken breasts as The Rock does. Mm-hmm. Isn't that like a sign of affection?
Well, or an obvious outcome to eating nothing but chicken all day.
Exactly.
anyway, so we have to guess which of the 8 co-stars Dwayne Johnson has in the Fast 8 movie he's referring to here. I'm going to read you his rant on Instagram. This is where he chooses to go off. It's not Facebook, not Twitter. It's Instagram and lots of text for The Rock. He says, "This is my final week of shooting Fast and Furious 8. There's no other franchise that gets my blood boiling more than this one. An incredible, hardworking crew. Universal has been great partners as well. My female co-stars are always amazing, and I am in love with them." Easy there, what's his name?
Dwayne.
Easy D. Dwayne.
Yeah.
Daryl.
You embellish that line a little bit.
A little bit. He says, "My male co-stars, however, are a different story. Some conduct themselves as stand-up men and true professionals, while others don't. The ones that don't are too chicken shit to do anything about it anyway, candy asses. When you watch this movie next April and it seems like I'm not acting in some of these scenes and my blood is legit boiling, you're right. Bottom line is it'll play great for the movie and it fits this Hobbs character that's embedded in my DNA extremely well. The producer in me is happy about this part. Final week on Fast 8 and I'll be finishing strong. Iceman cometh is the first hashtag. Hashtag F8. Hashtag zero tolerance for candy asses."
Wow.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking, Brian?
I smell that he's cooking something, but I can't really tell what exactly he's cooking. So
here are you want to know who's? Oh, so here's who he works with.
And give me the breakdown.
Here's your possibilities. He could be referring to newcomer Scott Eastwood, who basically is the new version of guy who died. Mm-hmm. Can't think of his name now.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker.
he's Paul Walker 2.0.
Yeah, he's basically the new Paul Walker character. It could be a veteran actor, Kurt Russell. Seems unlikely. It's possible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Could be, let's see, I'm skipping down. Could be Vin Diesel.
Mm. Oh, wow. I could see a little animosity between the two of them, right?
I could, maybe.
Because he would expect, you know, like if he would expect Diesel to be as rough and tumble as he is.
You'd
and
think.
If Vin Diesel likes it, "No, I'm having a stunt double, do that one." Yeah. Then I could see him saying, "Candy ass."
Yeah. He's like, "I want to go play Warcraft," because then he's
right.
Tyrese Gibson is a possibility, or even Jason Statham. They've worked with each other before. Let's see, there's Ludacris. Lucas Black, who starred in Tokyo Drift and Furious 7, is also in the mix. Oh, he gave us no clues. We don't know who he's talking about.
It could honestly be just to come like a total ploy too. Like, you know, if you watch this movie and it looks like I'm not acting in some of these scenes, well, now what is he trying to do? He's getting people to go and watch the movie to look for the scenes where he looks like he's ticked off at somebody.
Yeah, I want to see this. So when you catch the movie next April and it seems like I'm not acting in some of these scenes, my blood is legit boiling. You're right.
Yeah.
I want to see it now.
Yeah.
I'm
not
going to
tell you, but one of our guests every week here on TMS really pisses me off. But you're going to have to listen very carefully to every single episode to figure out which one it is.
Yeah, start with today. See how it goes with our two chuckleheads later and see which one really rubs Brian exactly. the wrong way.
You might have to listen for a month before you hear it, or even like 6 months before you actually hear exactly who ticks me off the most.
You never know. George R. R. Martin. Mm-hmm. Has another TV project in the works. Get excited.
Great.
The television show Game of Thrones will air its final episode in 2018, and some hardcore fans of George R. R. Martin are already mourning. That is to say, mourning the loss of their favorite show. Mm-hmm. But there's some good news. A television series based on Wild Cards, the anthology and novel series edited by Martin that launched in 86.
Oh, wow. I was hoping it was the game show. I wanted a George R. Martin developed game show.
We come out and like kiss all the ladies and
that's right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
"I'm sorry you've lost. The Lannisters send their regards."
See, the problem is he's too much of a nerd. He'd just be like, "So what do you think of the question there?" Like he's a nerd.
"Let's go on to the speed round. This'll be about 6 weeks."
Everybody dies in this part of
the
show.
For the lightning round, which involves actual lightning.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. I don't know why he's Ken Kratz, but I like it.
I don't know why he kind of did evolve into Ken Kratz.
That's all right. Let's see. He says, "Wild Cards is a series of books, graphic novels, and games, but most of all, it's a universe," Martin explained on his blog. "As large and diverse and as exciting as the comic book universes of Marvel and DC, though somewhat grittier and considerably more realistic and more consistent, with an enormous cast of characters, both major and minor. Wild Cards is set in an alternate history version of the United States where an alien virus hits Manhattan in 46 and spreads across the world. Of those infected, 90% die horribly, drawing the Black Queen, Martin writes. Whatever that is. 9% were twisted and deformed into jokers, while a lucky 1% became blessed with extraordinary and unpredictable powers and became aces. The world was never the same. It sounds interesting, actually.
It does sound interesting. I question that a book series that's got 22 novels is as large and diverse and exciting as Marvel and DC. But I've got high hopes for it.
Yeah, who knows what he means.
It might be a little bit of an oversell.
It might be a dig a little bit. Maybe he's sick of the comic book culture of the current Hollywood system or
maybe
something.
Maybe that's it.
Final news here. Well, this is good news, I guess, if you're mm-hmm. Niantic and everyone who owns a piece of the Pokemon company. Pokemon Go revenues have hit $200 million in less than a month.
Wow.
That is 1 month of release, $200 freaking million, which breaks every record there ever was. Let's see. Continuing with historic pace for the smartphone app launch, according to Sensor Tower. I don't trust the name of that.
Sensor Tower.
I don't like the sound of that at all.
No, I play. Isn't that a game? Isn't that like a tower defense game?
Yeah, Sensor Tower. You got to set up your little towers, upgrade them.
Right.
They have sensors on them. Yeah, Sensor Tower coming soon to your handheld device. according to Sensor Tower, Pokemon Go quickly outpaced the two previous titles considered to have the best opening months on mobile. Those were Supercell's Clash Royale and King's Candy Crush Soda Saga. Which really makes me want to shove razor blades up my butt.
King's Candy Crush Soda Saga.
I hate it. I hate the name. Freaking hate it. Oh, my gosh.
Flappy Bird not listed in here? Wow.
No. Flappy Bird was... Well, Flappy Bird had...
A lot of downloads, but it didn't make any money.
Yeah, it had no money.
Revenue.
Yeah. Which was a huge mistake in the retrospect for that guy. Mm-hmm. But these other two were, free to play, but...
Sure.
All that crap. Both titles generated buzz through the popularity of its predecessors, Clash of Clans and Candy Crush Saga, respectively. During this first month, Clash Royale generated nearly $125 million in revenue. Pokemon Go netted seven times more revenue than Candy Crush Soda Saga, which opened with roughly $25 million. This is not only a testament to Pokemon Go's unparalleled popularity, but also viewed against Clash Royale's first month, also speaks to how the measure of a hit game's launch has changed in two short years, says Sensor Tower's Randy Nelson. I don't want to say the name Sensor Tower anymore. I don't like it.
Sensor Tower.
I really don't like it.
Now is the time, Scott. Now is the time for us to develop our comic book dash game.
Ooh.
Well, it is the time.
We're talking to that guy,
We got to make this happen.
We got a programmer guy. Although what he's making looks, well, I don't know. We got to talk to that guy. I do have some dark. I always like to search for a word. Here's a word.
Pubes, pubes, pubes.
Well, wait.
The ragged band of pubes.
Wait.
His eyes surveyed the remaining pubes grimly.
It's the Dark Tower, but pubes aren't. Pubes are people.
Oh, okay.
In that series.
Gotcha. All right.
So, but I was looking up Tower and I came up with Dark Tower. Anyway. Pokemon Go is augmented reality game. We know that. You don't have to tell us that, USA Today. Thanks a lot.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, you don't say.
Thanks for filling us in.
Does it involve wanting to be the best that ever was?
Do I need to catch them all? Is that what you're telling me? All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to make things with Bill. And I'm excited about that because why not? But also, we're going to talk to Jerry. And it's been a while since Jerry was here. Well, he was here last week, wasn't he?
He was not here last week.
Last second he was on a plane or something.
Yeah, we were going to talk to him about Epcot. I wonder if he still remembers enough about Epcot that we could still talk to him about it.
Or if there's something
new to talk about.
That's right. We were going to talk to him while he was in Disneyland. It didn't work out. Right. So he's here today. He's back home, at least for a little bit, and we'll do that. So let's have Indy in the middle. That's what I like.
Sure. Well, let's listen to a guy who is from Mallorca, which is a neighboring island to Ibiza.
Place like the Hollywood? Everyone goes there and gets
everybody
drunk
goes to Ibiza. Right? It's the party island or the party beach, right? I don't know. I hear a little bit of Prince, a little bit of Mick Jagger in this guy. This is maybe a little bit more poppy than some of the stuff, some of the indie in the middle we play, but I really, really like this. This is coming from the brand new album, Colors for Jasmine, or Yasmin, maybe. Mm. It is kind of EDM dance pop, but it's really, really good. The song is Missing You, and the artist is Vincent Dean.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Let's play it. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
If I only had a pair of wings, I'd cross the blue. I'd travel these endless train tracks to be close to you. My hunger for you, my love, keeps speaking to me. The songs of my obsession won't let me be. I told you I can't be without. I told you I can't be without.
Know that I am blind, which means that I cannot see with my eyes.
No, I didn't know that.
He's shoving cocaine up his nose.
The Morning Stream. We wish you were here.
Okay, we're back.
Okay.
That was cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, kind of fun poppy. I mean, a little more poppy, but still really, really good.
Yeah, I like it. Poppy. That's what.
A little pappier.
Doesn't like if I had a Latina girlfriend, she would call me Poppy sometimes, right?
Poppy. Yeah.
Hey, Poppy.
Big Poppy.
What else? Is there anything else with that? No, that's it.
That's all I got.
All right. All right. Let's get Bill in here.
Okay.
You feel all right with that? Feel okay?
I know. Well, all right.
Let your heart let him in. We're going to get Bill
okay.
in here
all right.
and see what he's doing. I got some sounds of him.
Bill.
Haven't heard that in a while. Bill Duran, everybody. Hello, Bill.
Hey, I really do need to make that my alarm clock noise.
Yeah, get that going.
Really do.
No kidding. Yeah. That will wake you up like nobody's business.
My alarm's boring. I think it just goes bleh or something.
Yeah.
It's just boring and dumb. But not boring and dumb like me when it comes to creating things. But Bill isn't boring and dumb. This is a really bad transition. Bill comes on the show each and every Tuesday and talks about stuff he's making, things he's building. He's a prop maker, makes all kinds of cool and rad stuff. Bill, what's going on this week, man?
I want to talk about investing in your hobby.
Oh.
Mm.
So I hear from lots and lots of people who want to get into making stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And usually youngsters, young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bummed because, you know, I've got lots of tools and stuff. I've spent years and tens of thousands of dollars on all these tools and materials. And I get to make all this really cool stuff. Well, they're bummed because they can't afford all that stuff. So they're like, oh, I can't make stuff. And I call shenanigans. Mm. Damn it.
I see what you're saying. You know what? It's like anytime I talk to like a cartoonist or somebody who wants to get serious about doing their art and they say, well, I can't justify getting a Wacom or whatever the thing is. Right. And I say, if you're serious, you can't justify not getting it.
Exactly. Right.
You got to do it,
or
man.
Or a pen and paper, you know?
Sure. Whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to necessarily jump right to the biggest and the best, but you do have to do some sort of investment to make sure that, you know, what you're doing is still going to be viable and useful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And it's about spending what money you have in a clever manner, right?
Yeah.
Not just running out and going, I need a laser cutter, so clearly I should sell my car.
Right. I'm getting into podcasting, so I'm going to sell everything I own for a new Thunderbolt-based mixer.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So a good example for making stuff, materials can be acquired for cheap or free. In fact, the material cost is usually the smallest cost of a build. It's one of the reasons why I like EVA foam so much. It's stupid cheap. Mm. So like Harbor Freight, you can get 4 floor mats. They're 2 feet by 2 feet for about $10, sometimes 7.
Wow. Mm.
So 2 packs like that. So we're talking $14. Mm. That's everything I use to make my Mass Effect armor.
Wow.
That's how many pieces?
Wow.
Yeah. And I had leftovers, right?
Wow.
What do you do with the leftovers?
I sleep on them.
Nice.
I have plenty leftovers.
Nice.
And also, though, you can start with the even cheaper things. You know, cardboard. There's a lot you can accomplish with cardboard, cardstock. Other flat materials that you can get either really cheap or you can scrounge them from your recycling or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tools also, though, tools can be really cheap too. And there's a lot you can get away with just using very basic tools, you know, scissors, X-Acto knife, rulers, maybe some sandpaper. But usually I tell people if you want to get into prop making, invest in a rotary tool, get a Dremel. And this is where a lot of youngsters will say, well, I simply can't afford a Dremel.
Mm.
You know, the Dremel kit with some of the bits and stuff, basically everything you need could come in at like, I don't know, $50.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell them is to get a damn job.
Yeah, that seems like a requirement. And you see them go on sale on Amazon all the time. I bought mine. Yeah. And again, it was a Dremel kit. That's like a bag, the Dremel, a bunch of tips and stuff. And I want to say $29.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is, like I said, too, you do need to make a little bit of an investment. So if you don't have the cash on hand, like when I was 15, I got a job. I worked at a golf course. You know, the guy in the cart with the cage on it that you try and hit with a golf ball?
Yeah.
Yes, that was you?
That was me. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure I made like 4 1/4 an hour. I worked like, I don't know, 3 hours, maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
They always tell you, they have signs that say, you know, don't hit the guy in the cart. But
yeah, that's exactly what everyone does.
Kind of is.
So here's the thing. One shift at that job, and this was in 1995, I made, $13? But a rotary tool, the basic rotary tool kit at Harbor Freight is $10.
Oh, wow.
That seems
cheap. And it comes with 80 pieces. So, yeah, just get a side job, even if you're super young. You know, get your parents to sign off for it. Go.
Good idea.
Go pick up golf balls. Dodge golf balls in your cart And seriously, one shift, you got a rotary tool. You're good to go.
Yeah. I never thought of, but since you started talking about rotary tools on here, it was kind of the first time that I mean, my wife already knew this because she uses a little rotary tool Dremel thing for all kinds of stuff. And she's a huge fan of it and sings its praises. But I always just thought, oh, that's just like a weird tool where I got to round off some weird problem with a bed frame, or I need to use it to carve out something in the door that's making it jam or whatever.
You can weld two pieces of 3D printed plastic together with one of those.
See, that's super cool. And I wouldn't have thought of that. So
no,
yeah, you this is great.
This kit here has a whole crap load of cutoff wheels, so you can cut things like metal and plastic. It's got sanding bits, so you can smooth stuff off in a variety of sizes of sanding bits. It's got a whole bunch of different shaped grinding bits. It's got, let's see here, some brush wheels, plastic, brass, and steel. It has a whole bunch of drill bits, too. So you can drill holes and stuff. You don't need a power drill. You don't necessarily need a drill press. It's got all of those things. This thing is $10.
You know, out of context, you're describing the worst sex toy store I've ever heard of.
unless you're Bender.
Then it's the best. Then it's the best. No, that's such a cheap way to get into this. Like,
exactly.
Are there people, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're 12, $10 is a lot of money.
But you could go return a bunch of cans at the redemption center. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh yeah, no kidding.
Before I had that my job, I remember there was something I wanted really. Actually, it's right here. I found it. There was a store that had this little sword into stone pewter sculpture. This thing I remember cost $17, and I pulled weeds in my neighborhood for like 3 weeks
to get that.
To get this thing, yeah.
That right there is the biggest indicator in your youth of where you were headed, man.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Totally.
The fact that you pulled weeds in your neighborhood to buy a little pewter sword is all I needed to know today. That explains it all.
Yeah, I can't believe I haven't lost this thing.
Go to the airport and return those carts. You know, like you get the deposit back on those carts when you put them back in the metal thing that collects them.
But the main thing, though, here is If there's a thing you want bad enough, you'll find a way to do it, right? You'll find a way to make the money. And I think that a lot of people just forget that there's an avenue towards that, and they stop before they've even started. And that's always a bummer to me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, good. I'm glad you're a voice of reason in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And then when you do make that money, buy a tool. Don't go buy, I don't know, what are kids wasting their money on these days?
Video games. what did they wait when you're but let's think about that for a second. When you're like 10 to 12,
they're wasting their money on in-app purchases.
probably.
I'm trying to think. For us, it was like quarters down at the 7-Eleven and a, you know, ice climbers machine or something, right? But I don't know what kids are just throwing change at now. I can't think of what that would be. They don't go to arcades anymore.
I would treat myself to Taco Bell in high school. That's where I blew my money.
Stickers on Snapchat or some BS bullshit like that.
There you go.
Well, do you have a recommendation this week for us?
I sure do. This guy, his name is James Bruton. If you go to youtube.com/JAMESBRUTON, and I just posted a link in the chat too. He runs a YouTube channel called X Robots. And it's xrobots.co.uk is his website. And he
plays music as soon as you go there.
Yes, of course it does.
Mm-hmm. YouTube channel.
He does a crap load of 3D printing, and he's got a whole bunch of projects he's working on right now. He's working on his Hulkbuster. He's basically 3D printing almost every single part of his full-size Hulkbuster costume.
Wow.
He's been working on it for years.
Mm. Oh, look at this. Jeez.
Look at that thing. That's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
He's worth checking out. Yeah, he gets into like electronics and stuff, as well as lots of 3D printing. He also started building a Gonk droid from Star Wars.
Oh, no way.
That's cool.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, how so does he doing like the look at his Hulkbuster in his tiny little attic room.
Yeah, it barely fits.
Oh, my
his
gosh.
His head is scraping the ceiling. Like, the shoulders are just there.
How do you get it out of there? Can you get it out of there?
I don't know. I know he did take it to what? It's not completely done, but he did take it to an event. So he should be able to get it out. I guess.
That is a monstrosity.
Yeah. But that just shows, like, if you do get, you know, a 3D printer, or in his case, he has a handful of them.
Yeah.
What you can accomplish with really just that tool and a tiny, tiny apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look what you can get away with, man.
Wow.
Here he is with the helmet part. Looks like I want to see him put it on. Oh, he's showing how he made the helmet.
He's on part, like, 50 or something crazy.
And this has taken him years to do this?
Years, yeah.
A little tiny boat.
I don't think I have the focus. I just don't know if I have the focus. Yeah, it's amazing.
He's on part 58, it looks like.
Wow. And all this is 3D printed.
Yeah, just about. He'll use, like, he'll cover large panels with EVA foam. Mm-hmm. He's made after my own heart.
Yeah.
And then there's electronics and some, you know, metal hardware screws and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord.
But the bulk of it's all 3D printed. And what I really like about it is that it's a prototype. He's been noodling at this thing for so long. For example, the legs he had to rebuild because they just didn't functionally work the way he needed them to.
Mm.
So if you follow him along this process, you get to see in action, like, the entire prototyping process, which is really cool.
Yeah, there's 30, let's see, 40, how many parts to this? I'm on 58. Part
58.
Holy crap.
On the Hulkbuster.
All right, he's some kind of mad genius.
Yeah, really is. Yes. Wow,
fantastic, dude. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So that is, again, youtube.com/James Burton.
Bruton,
sorry. B-R-U-T-O-N, like crouton, but
I am Bruton.
And he is incredibly British.
Well, I haven't even heard. Let's listen to this guy talk. Here he goes.
Which allows this to tip forwards.
So, oh, he's very
basically
British.
That allows me to do some action poses and also stand on one toe.
He looks like he wants to eat blood pudding and ride the lorry. Bill Duran, always a pleasure. Punishprops.com. Yep. Of course, Chinbeard on Twitter. Anything big coming up you want people to know about?
Dragon Con is coming, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting ready for that.
What are you wearing? Are you wearing, you doing something new? What's going
on? No, we'll bring they're still pretty new, but the Mechanist and the Assaultron from Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah, those are really new still.
A couple other goofy things, too.
Yeah, don't forget your stink bag, all right?
You need like 5 of them for Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't have a stink bag yet for the Mechanist. It's still pretty clean.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that in Atlanta.
won't last.
Yeah.
Atlanta heat, that won't stay clean for long.
Yeah. Bill, stay out of trouble. We'll miss you, but we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye now.
All right. Jury time.
All right.
Coming on.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please enter.
Please enter the
room. Please rise for the jury.
Do you believe you will be impartial to whatever bullshit jury says today?
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Oh, get hyped. He's back in Oakland, California. Justin Robert Young, what's going on?
Back in my glory.
Yeah, finally.
Yes.
Dude, I don't know how you did it. You were gone for a month and you just...
3 weeks, 4 weeks, jeez.
Plane hopped constantly and did like really serious, hardcore political coverage. Then you dressed up like a Charmander and still did hardcore political coverage. And then you went to another convention, did the same thing. And then you flew to CreateCon and did that whole thing in Orlando. And then you went...
Two days at the parks, by the way, which also, in hindsight, might not have been the way to spend my only 2 off days.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah, but Epcot, the place is so huge. Epcot and Magic Kingdom and all that stuff. Did you go to like all 4 parks, the MGM, no. Disney and...
We had a really large group. We were rolling pretty deep.
I saw the video of you guys all the drinkathon drinking around the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, that was a thing. Hashtag this. I believe it was Leon, and somebody can correct me if it's not. But one of the amazing Diamond Club folks. Oh, I don't know what the hell is happening with my mic here. One of the amazing Diamond Club folks put together a video that just compiled all the Periscopes and Snapchats,
mm-hmm.
and Vines and Twitter videos of everything.
Mm.
And it was great. It was like the next day there was like this found footage, you know, documentary about our day. It was so, so, so cool.
That's cool.
At the same time, 100 degree Florida heat. And then the next day I went to Typhoon Lagoon with my 10-year-old little brother.
Mm.
Who, like, just so anybody understands, like, A 10-year-old who is born and raised in Florida has the swimming skills of like a Navy SEAL. Mm. Like they're just they are unsinkable aquatic creatures. And so as I was kind of, you know, sort of really beat, I, you know, he's like, oh, let's go to the tide pool, the tide pool. If you could just Google Typhoon Lagoon wave pool, like it is the biggest wave pool I have ever seen
really
in my life. And all he wanted to do was go swim in water that is, you know, twice his height and do it well. And certainly.
Oh my gosh. Like, look at this place. Holy crap.
Holy mackerel. Jeez. Yeah. I've never been there.
Yeah. He was like a very, very demanding soul cycle instructor. Like,
wow.
Like, come on. Why are we going deeper? Let's go.
Yeah, that's intense, dude.
Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah, we have Waterworld here in Colorado. This thing dwarfs the wave pool at Waterworld.
Yeah.
This thing is enormous.
We have something called Seven Peaks that's nothing like this. This is way cooler.
So, yeah. So then I went to Gen Con for 4 days.
Yeah, then Gen Con. And then and I know you saw a bunch of tadpoolers and TMSers and stuff.
Oh, but yeah. Thank you to everybody who came out, man. It was super fun, and it really kind of highlights the fact that in next year we got to do something official. We got to do I learned so much, man. So here's the thing with Gen Con, right?
Mm.
They got tickets for everything, but you buy the tickets through Gen Con.
Mm.
And some of them don't cost money, but some of them do. And like they basically, it's kind of the anti-Dragon Con, which by the way, Bill, like at the end of his segment, he's like, oh, Dragon Con's coming. I broke out in a cold sweat. God, I thought I was done.
Yeah. By the way, you're almost a 1 year anniversary on your marriage, by the way. Congratulations. Yeah,
exactly. No, that is exciting.
Yeah.
The cold sweat will feel really nice compared to the hot sweat of Dragon Con. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, Dragon Con is actually a little bit more of a relaxed situation just because I'm on so many panels that I can't just beat myself up in sitting at a booth. Although we are now accepting volunteers for people who want to demo and sell the contender. So hit me up, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com.
Seems like a good venue for that.
But yeah, no, we got to do a big thing at Gen Con next year. We got to have a frog pants thing. Mm. Of course, we had Dan, your the host.
Tabletop man.
Yeah,
the tabletop man. He was... he was great. Hung out with him a bunch and demoed pre-alpha play-tested a new game that John and I came up with called Trash Masters.
Oh. Mm, I didn't know you had a new game in the works. A little bit of something going on there. That's great. Any hints? What's Trash Masters? It's all about being master of the trash. Is that it?
So the theme that I want to that I want for it, and this is all very, very early, is I want it to be like Mad Max meets the Garbage Pail Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so like very kind of like post-apocalyptic, but also kind of like big, round, silly heads. And so the idea is that you are one of, I guess, however many, up to five warring dumps.
Okay.
That... are trying to build crazy machines to steal each other's trash.
Okay.
And the person who winds up getting to our win point level wins the round. But you are building machines and you are trashing other people's machines. And every time that you take, you know, a big elaborate machine for other people, like counted for a lot of points and was doing a lot of damage, you can trash it and make it like 1 point for you, but it's in your trash heap.
Yeah, I'm in.
It's really fun trashing other things.
Yeah, no, I'm in. You had me at Mad Max and maybe even Garbage Pail Kids. I like both of those things a lot.
No, I don't know. That's way really cool. Off the distance. Like, that's more...
Well, I'm guessing it's impossible to be at Gen Con and not start brainstorming about games. And
it had kind of been a thing for John and I over the last, probably 2 months where we were like let's have something to play test, a new thing to play test at Gen Con, because you're just not going to get that kind of opportunity with those kinds. I mean, like, the people we playtested it for were all game designers themselves or people who write about games. And, like, you know, these are the kind of people that you're going to wind up facing one way or another when you release a game. Like, these are the people that whose opinions matter, whose opinions are important. And so it's like, it just is such a valuable opportunity to have their input so early on in the process, and to kind of just validate, like, okay, well, this is good, this is bad. Or, like, you know, you always want to put it in front of people who have a big wide breadth of things, because you don't want to be like, oh yeah, you invented Uno, congratulations.
Well, that is, there's a lot of, that's the thing, getting unique in that space is hard, right? Because yeah. There's a billion people are using mechanics already that you think that you made up and you didn't. And,
well, you know, it's kind of a lot like Magic, not The Gathering, but Ta-da. And, you know, because that whole world is very, very similar in terms of, you know, there's only so many ways to do things, and it's really more about presentation. The copyrightability of stuff is kind of very wonky. So it reminded me a lot of that, except I will say that hanging out with game designers was a little bit more of a welcoming space than hanging out with
magicians. Really?
Well, that's saying from somebody for whom I think, you know, half of my best friends are magicians and magic.
Sure.
So, like,
are they constantly pulling coins out of your ear, or, you know, asking you, is this your card?
We were joking that, like, just trying to think of the most annoying card, the annoying game demo of all time. And it would be if, you know, so I demoed this, the contender, just 1.5 million times. And it just, like, if every time you were so what you do is you draw, like, and then, like, reach up magician style from, like, behind your ear, like, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cards. What you also want to do is draw a topic card. And just every time that there's anything involved with a card, you pull it from behind it. Wow. I think people would probably leave about halfway through.
Yeah, I think so.
That'd have been the end of it. Well, that's great. I'm jazzed about your the future of your game there. You have to let us know how that goes. Do you want to... So, okay, I've been hesitant to do this.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear why... I told Justin yesterday I might tell him this today. Do you want to hear why... I've come to some peace with this, too. Why I think I have such a burning hatred of Donald Trump. And I know people right now are going, oh, Scott, please, no politics today. Listen, you can tune out this part if you want to. It's fine. If you're listening at home, you don't want to hear this. It's not even about politics. This is about... I think I have come to terms with why I have such a distaste for the man. Do you want to hear that or no?
Of course I want to hear.
Sure.
Okay. Here's my reasoning. Here's my thinking. I worked for a guy for 16 years that had his exact same personality. And it didn't really occur to me that that was true until recently, when I really started to think about it. He was somebody who was all about the big moves, the big talk, and not the details.
Okay.
Which drove us all crazy because we were in charge of making sure details happen. So somebody who would be very blustery, get up and say, we're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then you'd all have to figure out to scramble to make somehow what he said a reality.
Uh-huh.
It was also a guy that if he was criticized at all, would just say, F everybody and who cares? I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm doing my thing. And that was incredibly frustrating because there was never any kind of way to collaborate. Even though we were sort of on his side, I feel like I know what it feels like to be a staffer on the Trump campaign, probably little bit. It got us nowhere. So in some ways, he was kind of brilliant, but it always screwed us over in the end that he was unwilling to budge either on his firm stance on whatever it may have been or his unwillingness to listen to other people. That experience feels like every time I hear Trump say anything, and it triggers me a little bit. It makes me go,
you are, it's personal trauma for you.
A little bit. I mean, it's not like, I don't have PTSD from it or anything, but I recognize it and I see it and I go, oh, that again. And it didn't really occur to me though, that that's what I was feeding into here. And I think that's it. So in a way, what I'm admitting to here is that I'm unfairly biased in this situation. Like, I cannot have an objective opinion about Donald Trump, because so much of this is based on those old wounds. Yeah, those old gaping pus-filled wounds that I have.
I mean, so I I think that you have certainly articulated plenty of reasons, though, why you are frustrated. I mean, like, I would have a hard time believing that if either your boss was a different person or Trump acted in a different way, that you still wouldn't be frustrated by some of the other elements that you've enumerated.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I just think I'm extra sensitive to it and I go off extra hard because of it.
Yes. I mean, it certainly has seemed personal.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like at the point that we had to intervene with the Twitter account, yeah. Like that was like, okay, it was just...
Which I did, by the way. I still haven't refollowed him, for the record.
And we're off peak Trump though when it comes to Twitter. Like he's actually been fairly well behaved over the last week. There was apparently a real come to Jesus meeting with him and the Republican Party after he spent a week not talking about Hillary Clinton, who had a fairly a gaffe she had to walk back in terms of how she classified, you know, her email stuff post the FBI thing, so Trump could instead have a fight with a Gold Star family and kick a baby out of his rally, which is just poor message discipline at the very most strategic. But now he's doing that, and it's funny. Some people are actually tracking. Because, you can see on Twitter where it was posted.
Yeah.
That apparently there's like an Android that does all of the official, like, we're in Florida. Hooray, Florida. Come see the rally. And then it's like an iPhone that does all the like unhinged, like, like sad, crooked Hillary like stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, another fun subplot.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. So I don't know. I just wanted to get it out there that I think I've had my own little coming to Jesus moment where I can at least admit where some of this is coming from for me and why it rubs me so wrong. But anyway, it's so you can see where some of that comes from. And it's, whatever. People have specific kinds of personality clashes with specific kinds of other personalities. And that, I think this is just a kind of personality that I just can't do. Just can't do it.
Well, you know? I mean, all right. In all seriousness, everybody gets fired up about their own things, right? Mm-hmm. We all have our own bugaboos and peccadillos and the fact that somebody for whom you politically disagree with also bears personality and physical resemblance to somebody that you don't like personally and was a great source of trauma in your life. Like that just happens, in fact, I think it's good that you were able to draw those lines.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in some ways I owe it some debt of gratitude in that it was one of the great motivators for me to finally say, why am I not doing this frog pants stuff full time? Why am I not doing this?
Hey,
and that was like the big push to get out and go.
You can always look on the bright side of life.
You can. Even when you're hanging on a cross in Life of Brian, you can look on the bright side of life.
Man, this was I'm remembering when those conversations that we had about that. So wait, has that still that's still not settled?
No, it's still unresolved. Yeah. It's still in the fiddle.
Do you All right.
I don't even know what that means. It's still in the fiddle.
It's still in the fiddle. All right, I feel like there's no good way for us to continue to walk down. I do want to talk to you offline.
All right, fair enough.
Because that's it. Oh my god! I mean, like that was years ago. We had those conversations.
Yeah, it was at least a year and a half ago that you and I talked about it. Something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. So we are, and listeners, we're not trying to be all cagey about it. It's just I don't know. I'm still trying to get that money.
Whenever there's
saying.
Money involved.
Yeah,
it's just you can't really put it out on wax.
Yeah,
like that, so.
that's a good way to put it. Well, anyway, so there's that. Anything else tickling your wiener today that you want to get out there?
Oh man, a lot of sleeping in my own bed, which was a rare treat.
Yeah,
a lot of podcasts today. We're making up for weird things that didn't happen on Sunday. We're doing Night Attack. I'm gonna do a little mini politics. Jury is going to get made up on Wednesday. Man, It is going to be a festival of me writing my ragged voice into the metaphorical ground.
Wow. That's fantastic. Are you, do you feel like you're going to get the rest you need between things to not go crazy and lose your mind? You don't need rest like the rest of us yet. Not yet, anyway. Give it another
Yeah, decade. I don't know. I mean, like, there's a large part of my life that is dedicated to subjugating any thought that I need things like sleep. So, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. I believe I will survive. That is probably the best thing that I can say. Hey, here's something else I can say, because I'm going to put in the order for everything today.
All right.
You know, a lot of people, you might know that I got this website called Stickers or DIAF.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And putting in the orders for all the new stickers today. I don't know if I've said this publicly on this show, but there it's going to be some familiar artwork to the Scott Johnson household.
Mm-hmm.
Not Scott, but rather Carter Johnson.
Yeah, I got to get in on some of this stuff. She did some really rad designs for you, and I'm stoked to see them in actual sticker form. It's gonna be
yeah,
red.
No. So they're going to the they're going to the all the places where I order stickers today, and hopefully they should go on sale at the end of this week.
Nice.
Also, if you are in Canada, Australia, or the United Kingdom, later this week, if not actually right now, like you might be able to do this right now. If you go to the contender.us, you can buy the game now.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
People outside these States United contender now? Wow.
Yeah, Canada, only Canada, the UK, and Australia. If everybody else is like, wait a minute, I don't live in those places. Like, I'm sorry, man. We're not going to be able to, accommodate you right now. Yep, there you go. You can do it. Yeah, UK, Australia, Canada. They're there. Here's the reason why we're doing it in those countries. Number one, we've had a lot of people ask us to ship it to those countries, specifically Canada and the UK. Number two, we figured out a way to do it price-wise. And number three, if they get lost, we can at least talk to people who speak English, which, you know, when you're tracking down stuff, you know, in other countries, that is a godsend, you know, to not have a language barrier as well.
Yeah.
So if that goes well, maybe we'll expand to other countries. But for right now, thecontender.us, you can get in Australia, Canada, and the UK the game. Boy, are we excited to spread the word of calm and rational American debates to other shores. America's right. Greatest export, the contender.
Should do a Brexit edition. Get Prime Minister, what's his name?
We've gotten a lot of that. We had a lot of people that were like, hey, can you do an expansion for the UK? And really the biggest issue is just we don't know enough stuff there, you know?
Mm.
Like all the research for the contender was kind of born out of the fact that I'm just a nerd and I know like political quotes, you know? And so that's where it kind of began. So I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
If we could do something, maybe we'll do a little print and play at the very least.
Nice. Jury is found on Twitter also. Justin R. Young on Twitter.
R. Young on Twitter.
That's
everybody.
Right.
I love you.
Get some rest, you crazy bastard. Talk to you later. Pew, pew. All right. Brian Ibbett.
Yes, sir.
We finished today's program with an email.
Okay.
If you will. This is sent to us by Bernie Walter, a common face in the community, who says this. Hey, Scott, I recently saw Star Trek Beyond, and you're absolutely right. It's miles better than Into Darkness, or as I call it, Wrath of Khan 2, The Conning. When you take a story like the original Wrath of Khan and try to update and rework it for the fans, you are going to alienate the base. Star Trek Beyond was not even on my radar for movies to watch this year. I was going to wait for video, just like X-Men Apocalypse. But because I trust your film judgment, I found myself in the unique position to actually go to the movies. I saw Star Trek Beyond. That movie reignited my enthusiasm for the reboot franchise. To be honest, I wasn't going to see it because Into Darkness was so meh. I agree. Interesting story, interesting new characters. The Yorkshire Space Station was awesome. It's actually Yorktown.
Yorktown, yeah.
They actually,
although Yorkshire, it had a lot of gravy on it. It was a nearby space station with some
Yeah, oh, some pudding. Oh, yeah. The pudding station. he says they actually leave Earth for once. It was great. However, there are two things that the reboot franchise can't ever do again. Number one, destroy the Enterprise. They are on the third Enterprise by the end of this thing, and the one numbered NCC-1701A. They should probably stick with that one. Two, use the Beastie Boy song again. Yes, that was fun, but it's turning into a pattern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think the one more time's fine, but I think if they try to do that three times, then we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Three, time travel. Don't know if the next one involves James meeting his dad, but can't he just be in cryosleep or something? We don't know if that's time travel or not. That could be anything. Could be like the ribbon in space where Picard got stuck up there, you know, talking to Guinan or whatever. And four, do you have to continually go to the time travel well? The answer is no, they don't. Just love some thoughts. Love the movie, Bernie. All right, Bernie, we agree. That movie's great. It's my favorite summer movie, I think. I'm trying to think, what else have I seen?
Civil War. I like Civil War a little more, but this was good.
Yeah, that was spring, though, wasn't it?
Oh, summer movie. Okay, sure. That was May.
Let me think. Yeah. If we're counting just summer, meaning like June through August, I think I'm going with Star Trek. Anyway, thanks, Bernie. If you want to send in your own thoughts about stuff like this, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow with a normal show. It's Recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, and more. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us. Check out the new membership cards and the monthly collectibles that we're sending out. I'm seeing people already getting these. They're putting up pictures on Twitter. Feel free to share that stuff so we can see what you got.
It is so cool to see those popping up now on Twitter. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. We got a new mug up on the store at frogpants.com/store. There's all kinds of cool stuff, so go check all that out. Show is streamed live every day via alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. Big thanks to them. Frogpants.com/TMS is a link to take you to everything we have. All our email contact information, phone numbers, all that stuff. And you can follow us on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. And the show is at Morning Stream. That's the end
Morning
of that.
Morning Stream.
Morning Stream. Bearded Fruit. Brian, let's go. We got music. Sure. Yeah, you got some music? What do you got?
I got an email from Mike C. Mike C. says, hey, Brian and Scott, I'd love to hear the song played on TMS. Just a rockin' version of a great song. Was on a 2-song EP by the band called Where Did You Go? Along with a cover of Enter Sandman. Sweet Emotion was the better of the two. He's talking about the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones and a song that they released, yeah, like you said, on a 2-song EP called Where'd You Go? Back in 1992. These are the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones and their cover of Aerosmith's Sweet Emotion.
Oh, this is a great song.
It is.
Enjoy, you guys. We'll see you soon.
There are things nobody can. Where all things nobody will. Nobody better gonna make clear. Can't see me from being here. It's a real good life. The magic puts your hands on fire.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Jeez.
What is that?
I don't know.